ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्, देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास, ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 23 टेक्स्ट नंबर 31। श्री भगवान उवाच, पतयो नाभ्य सुयरेण पित्रु भात्रु सुतादयः, लोकश्च वो मयोपेता, देवा अप्यनुमन्वते। श्री भगवान उवाच, पतयो नाभ्य सुयरेण पितृ भातृ सुतादयः, लोकाश्च वो मयोपेता, देवा अप्यनुमन्वते। श्री भगवान उवाच, पतयो नाभ्य सुयेरन पितृ भातृ सुतादयः, लोकाश्च वो मयोपेता, देवा अप्यनुमन्वते।
माताजी,
What word meaning? Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said. Patayah. Your husbands. Na. Abhaya Suyairan. Will not feel inimical. Pitru Bhatru Suta Adayah. Your fathers, brothers, sons and others. Lokaha. The general populace. Cha. Also. Vaha. Towards you. Maya. By me. Upetaha. Advised. Devaha. The demigods. Api. Even. Anumanvate. Regard favorably. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead replied, rest assured that your husbands will not be inimical towards you, nor will your fathers, brothers, sons and other relatives or the general populace. I will personally advise them of the situation. Indeed, even the demigods will express their approval. Since this verse has no purport, we'll take to next shloka, 32. Na pritayet anuragaya hya asango nunamiha tanmano mai manjuna achiran mama avapsyatha. Translation purport by His Divine Grace. For you to remain in my bodily association would certainly not please people in this world. Nor would it be the best way for you to increase your love for me. Rather, you should fix your minds on me and very soon you will achieve me. Purport. The Lord pointed out that the people in general would not appreciate a loving affair between Lord Krishna, who superficially was appearing as a cowherd boy, and the wives of the Brahman community. Also, the Brahman lady's own devotion and love would increase most efficiently in separation. In other words, it would be best all around if they continued to fix their minds on Lord Krishna and thus went on with the process they had been practicing throughout their lives. The Lord and His bona fide representative, the spiritual master, expertly engaged the Lord's devotees in different types of service, so that all of them can quickly return to His lotus feet. Om Ajnantimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitanshcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpataru Bhishcha Krupa Sindhu Vevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha. श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण. सो वी आर ऑन 10th कैंटो 23rd चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द ब्राह्मणाज वाइव्स ब्लेस्ड एंड वी आर क्वाइट टू द चैप्टर बिकॉज टुडे वी आर ऑन द श्लोक नंबर 31 एंड 32. Actually, the Brahmana's wives were told by Krishna to go back home, and then they made their own request that please don't tell us like that. And then again Krishna, and they gave various points why they should not go home, in the sense their family will not accept and like that. And they said, we have come for good, to take shelter of your lotus feet. Even they told that if you don't want us to be close by because other duties are close to you, we can stay somewhere nearby, but please don't send us back. So after said that, Lord Krishna is answering them. And their one doubt was, no one in our home will accept us back. So Krishna is now giving his personal assurance that please be assured that your relatives won't be inimical and they will all accept you back. And I will personally advise them out of the situation. How exactly Krishna did in the physical way, we don't know. But certainly as a Paramatma, he can. We don't hear Krishna going to the Brahmana village and telling them, no, you should accept these wives back home. That would have been more actually outrageous from the social point of view. But then he is at Paramatma, mostly he advised those Brahmanas like that. And then after giving this assurance in the next verse, whose purport we read today, he is telling that various reasons why they should go back. One is a social or maybe more on the apparent physical level. He says that certainly your association with me over here in the forest will not please many people of the world. So he is seeing the society, the social norms, and he is aware of the things around him. And also then he is making the point that it would be best for you, means for the Brahmin ladies, to increase your love for me. For that it will be best that you go home and fix your minds on me. And in this way we will very soon achieve me, that is, in the spiritual world. So basically, even for the Brahmin ladies, although they are pure devotees, from one point of view, all are pure devotees. The gopis are pure devotees, Brahmin ladies are pure devotees, and the Gwalbals are pure devotees, Nandamara Yashoda are pure devotees, and many others. The cows are pure devotees. But for these devotees, in the apparent situation of the world, Lord Krishna advised that you go home, and think of me in separation. And fix your mind on me. And in this way you will achieve me. So you see, even Krishna giving various types of instructions to various types of devotees. Even with gopis, Krishna might have performed sometimes Ras Lila, but that might be few times in his life. Not every day exactly, in a manifest way. So in that way we see different, and Gwalbals, he might have a relationship in a different way. For them the instruction may be to play with Krishna or something like that. And for Nanda Maharaj, it's a different thing. So, Lord Krishna is pointing out that people in general would not appreciate a loving affair between Krishna, who is from cowherd family, and wives of the Brahman community. And for Brahmanas, ladies' own devotion and love would increase most efficiently in separation. So, Lord Krishna is giving advice which is all around good. Srila Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita also in one purport, I don't remember exactly which verse. But he says there are two types of duties which you have to perform. One is on the level of the body and one is on the level of the soul. So there is always a physical reality and spiritual activity in our life. Now we may, like for example, we may all want to dance like Vakreshwar Pandit Prabhu for 72 hours. All may like, and that will be the best thing, but our physical reality may not allow that to do. After a few minutes or maybe after 1 or 2 hours, we are tired and we want to take a rest. And then if you do more than that, 5 or 7 hours, then certainly we have to do much more physical care for our body. Maybe some massage and some oil or maybe something, some hot water padding or something like that. So, although the spiritual activities, we may like to have kirtan for 72 hours, or like Nityanand Prabhu came back from Jagannath Puri to Bengal, I think they performed kirtan for almost a month non-stop, going this way and that way, always mistaking their road, and sometimes dancing on the tips of the trees. Some of us may like to do that, but the reality is we can't go there and dance on the tips of the small, small twigs. We'll fall down, in a sense, physically we'll fall down. So, we have to be careful. So, therefore, in our life, there's always we have to be aware and make a balance of physical reality and spiritual activity. Here, the ladies, they want to stay with Krishna, but the physical reality on the physical, social level is different. And also on other levels is different. But what we observe today's point of view is detachment from material attachment, material entanglement, and attachment to Krishna. So here, even though actually one way we see, the Brahmana ladies have renounced their family, society, house, wealth, everything. And they have come to take shelter of Krishna. So in that way, they were detached. They had no more any attraction for these things, material things. And they had completely taken shelter of Krishna. But no, Krishna is telling them to go back. So actually, in devotion, there is a higher level of detachment. And especially we sometimes experience this in devotional service and especially in Brahmachari Ashram. So one way of detachment is to be detached from the things. And higher level of detachment is to accept those things for Krishna's service. So jnanis, they miss this. Jnanis, they detach. But the devotees, they have higher level of detachment because they accept those things which they don't want for Krishna's service. So that is actually a higher level of detachment. So here, Krishna is telling the wives who have given up everything, they are detached from it, saying that you go and accept it. And then, you remember me continuously. So actually, Krishna is telling the Brahman Patnis who are already purified devotees, to remember him in separation continuously with intensity, even accepting the those material things which they have given up. So it's not that they are just being told to go back home, but in one level we can say that they were actually advanced and they are actually completely free from the attachment of house and all these things. But still Krishna told them to go back, and therefore we see in this material world many times there is a discussion on what one should do, what job he should do, what ashram he should choose, and which type of place he should work. All these things have to be considered. But the most important point which Krishna is making in this verse is to be detached materially and attached to Krishna. What is the situation? The Brahmana's Patnis gave up and came, or Brahmana Patnis were told to go back. But Krishna first told that you are detached, you still go back and accept. At the same time, in jnanis, as I said, they are emotionless. First thing I said, they are detached, but they are not so detached that they can accept those things which they have given up. Free from attachment for service of Krishna. In a similar way, the jnanis is, they are like a little renounced and stone heart, like hard-hearted. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, don't lament for those who are dead or those who are living. Means those who will die. Gata sun, agata sun, so. Means those who are gone and those who are not yet gone. Don't lament for them. And immediately after that, in the war, Abhimanyu dies. And we say, Krishna told Karishe Vachanam Tavo. Krishna, Arjun told, I will do whatever you are telling. And within few days from that, Abhimanyu dies. And we see Krishna, Arjun is little expressing his sorrow and like that. So basically, it's not that devotees should be emotionless, but they should be free from attachment. What does it mean? Abhimanyu expressed sorrow and was little bit unhappy, but at the same time he did not neglect his spiritual life and duty because of his physical duty of fighting the war and his spiritual life of surrendering to Krishna. He did not allow that to be disturbed because of his child's death. Not that, okay, my child is dead. Okay. Hare Krishna. No, he expressed full emotions as a father would, but at the same time, he maintained his spiritual life and his duty of fighting the war. And actually we see, few days back, I was speaking on the story of Priyavrata Maharaj. And that's quite a complex story with many lessons to learn. So maybe we'll discuss that story now and again come back to our instructions which Lord Krishna is giving over here. The whole story of Priyavrata Maharaj is something like that. Because sometimes there is many discussions, like amongst many group of devotees and even non-devotees, that what one should do, how much he should be attached, what is the responsibility, whether one should become which ashram, and so many discussions are happening. But we see in the Priyavrata Maharaj's case, actually what is being discussed is completely different. And Priyavrata Maharaj's case is very suitable for this topic. Because he was Naishthik Brahmachari for millions, not billions of years. He was Naishthik Brahmachari means one who has not thought of opposite sex, not even thought. What to speak of seeing, desired, heard. He has not thought. So he was Naishthik Brahmachari for billions or trillions of years. We'll discuss how many years. And then for 15 generations, you might not have analyzed it that way. He was Naishthik Brahmachari for 15 generations that passed down. 1-5. And each generation ruled for millions of years. So calculations you might do. There are many talented people sitting over here. See, and I'll come to the point. And then he became Grihastha and ruled the kingdom for 11 arbod years. After 15 generations of Naishthik Brahmachari. So what is one arbod? 1 crore we all know. Then 10 crore. And then 1 arbod. And then 10 arbod. And then 11 arbod. So he was Naishthik Brahmachari for 15 generations. Each generation lasting for lakhs and crores of years. And then a Grihastha for 11 arbod years. And then again he renounced. So what exactly happened and why such a drastic change in his life, we'll discuss that and then we'll come back over here. So actually that even astonished Parikshit Maharaj. This behavior of Priyavrata Maharaj even astonished Parikshit Maharaj. And he asked the question to Sukhdev Goswami, O sage, why did King Priyavrat, who was a self-realized sage, a Naishthik Brahmachari, became or accepted a household life? Which is the cause of bondage and which defeats the mission of human life. And then, the most astonishing thing for Parikshit Maharaj, when he became householder, he behaved very attached. And so it may appear that he has become attached. And then, Priyavrata Maharaj perfected his life. So both questions are being unanswered for Parikshit Maharaj. One thing is, he was so pure, under direct guidance of Narad Muni, why did he take up the responsibility of Grihastha Ashram, which has to do with lot of with karma and managing things and certainly bondage? And if he became bound and attached to the material life, how he attained perfection after that? Because both things cannot happen, generally speaking. Generally speaking, one who is completely free from desires and completely pure in heart, why will he take up the entanglement? And if one is entangled, how he can attain the Supreme Lord? So, now, Sukhdev Goswami will certainly answer, but here, Srila Prabhupada, he clarifies, it's not that Narad Muni, okay, let me see if I missed some point, yeah. He is clarifying that Narad was instructing Priyavrata directly about the goal of life and connect with Krishna, and Priyavrata Maharaj was determined to remain like that, an Naishthik Brahmachari. But then he became Grihastha. And then after he became Grihastha, it is described that he enjoyed it for 11 arbud years. And again he attained perfection in devotional life. Later attained the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that was a little confusing to Maharaj Parikshit. Both the change of his stages. So somebody may ask, Prabhupada clarifies, that what is the wrong to enjoy household life? Prabhupada says, the reply is that one becomes bound by the results of fruitive activities. And he says, further, unless one engrosses his mind in working hard for sense enjoyment, one is bound by the reactions. So then what happened with Priyavrata Maharaj? He was apparently enjoying his family life for 11 arbud years. So how he attained? So, further, Sukhdev Goswami says, devotees of the Lord are certainly liberated persons and therefore they are the greatest brahmanas. And therefore, possibly they will not be absorbed in family affairs. Srila Prabhupada says, therefore a bhakta becoming attached to family affair is impossible. See, the most important discussion today is not the ashram, but the attachment. Because one can be attached even in brahmachari ashram or even in grihastha ashram, and one can be detached. It's not that only in the grihastha ashram one is attached. Brahmachari is in modern age and previous age can be attached to many things. They also have their gadgets, their clothes, their lockers, their position, their singing, speaking and decorating capacities. And they can be attached to that. It's not that detachment is not so easy in whatever state of life you are. And here, what is being discussed is detachment. But generally it may appear, but Prabhupada is saying attachment, because he is discussing about Priyavrata Maharaj, is saying for family affairs, but we should say attachment for whatever affairs, and devotional service are incompatible. They can't go both together. And for Priyavrata Maharaj, he was detached and accepted family affairs, but still he remained detached and attained perfection. So that was the clarification which Parikshit Maharaj required. And then he said, eluded Mahatmas who have taken shelter of the Supreme Lord and His lotus feet, their consciousness cannot possibly become attached. And then the king continued. He is asking the same doubt. The Sukhdeva Goswami, he accepts king's doubts. He says, yes, what you are saying is correct. One who is detached will not accept entanglement, and who is entangled cannot perfect his life. Parikshit's question was this, and Sukhdeva Goswami says, what you are saying is correct. Both of what you are saying is correct, but still it happened with Priyavrata Maharaj. Exception happened with Priyavrata Maharaj. And then he says, how it happened? He says, one who is attached to nectarian honey of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, whose mind is always absorbed in the glories of the Supreme Lord, may sometimes be checked by some impediment. But he will never give up the exalted position he has acquired. So it may appear that Priyavrata Maharaj accepted the responsibility of managing the kingdom, and certainly it was a big thing, army and treasury and so many things, not only family. He certainly had a wife and 10 children, but along with that many, many things he has to accept. And he did many responsibilities, he did many brave feats also. So along with that, he says, sometimes for some devotees, there can be some impediments. But generally a devotee never gives up the exalted position which he has acquired. And then he says, a person whose mind is absorbed in Supreme Lord, he may be influenced by impediments, but he does not give up the exalted position of his devotional service. And now he gives the final answer. How are these contradictions resolved? Both are the contradiction. He says they are resolved in the life of a devotee by the grace of the Supreme Lord. And therefore a devotee is never bereft of his position which he has achieved. So now we'll move ahead. So now we see the scene is Priyavrata Maharaj is under the shelter of Narad Muni. And Narad Muni is giving him instructions of perfection of life, goal of life, and how to practice. And both are performing tapasya and devotional service. And now the time comes that Swayambhu Manu feels that his son Priyavrata Maharaj should become the king. And he comes to convince him that you should come back home and take over the kingdom. But the scene is Narad Muni, Guru, and Priyavrata Maharaj, Shishya, both are determined not to remain. And Swayambhu Manu, the father, is coming. In modern language, Beta, Aja. We hear many times. Like it appears that people just take one-sided angle of the scriptures. And they quote, see, Priyavrata Maharaj, he became such a wonderful king and grihastha. So what is the problem with you? Sometimes the parents say, we'll discuss what's happening. We should see the whole picture. Like in Maharashtra, there is this story of what? Shravan Bar. Maharashtra. And they say, just see Shravan Bar, he was serving his parents so nicely. But what the parents were doing, they don't see. Parents gave up home and were going for pilgrimage. And he was carrying them. Not that parents were sitting home playing cards and watching G Star Plus and cutting Supari. They told, just see how the Shravan Bal served your parents, but he carried parents to the pilgrimage who has given up house and accepted Vanprastha. Not that parents are sitting home and cutting Supari, sometimes we see, and seeing some G Tar Plus and something like that. Not that way. Yes, so Shravan, they want a child to be like Shravan Bal, but they don't want themselves to be like the parents of Shravan Bal. This should not happen. Everything should be taken, all laws should apply equally to all. So therefore we see many times people, so here Priyavrat Maharaj was little reluctant. His father had come and was requesting that please take up your responsibility of becoming a king. And he was under the care of Narad Muni and he was little reluctant and saying, oh, this order is come, although it's from my father and I cannot reject it directly. But he then starts asking the questions, which are also standard ones. He says, but what will happen? I will get entangled from my path of devotional service. And then, but here, actually, Sukhdev Goswami is saying, the symptom of a great devotee is, even though sometimes he is engaged in worldly affairs, he does not take pleasure in them. So again, the mood is attachment and enjoying mentality. But remains always absorbed in devotional service. While thus serving the Lord, he deals externally with the worldly affairs without being affected. For example, although he has no attraction for children, he cares for them, educates them. Similarly, he may speak to the wife with affectionate words, but he is not attached to her. By rendering devotional service, a devotee acquires all good qualities of Supreme Lord. And so actually, no, I would like to say, tell you some important part of history. Brahmaji's son was Swayambhu Manu. And Swayambhu Manu had two sons. Elder one was Priyavrata Maharaj. But he did not become the king, which he could have. He went to Narad Muni's ashram. So second son was Uttanapad, who became the king. And then Uttanapad also had Uttam, who did not become the king. Dhruva was from the elder. Dhruva was elder and Uttam was younger. So then Uttam died, we know. And Dhruva became the king. And if you have heard, Uttanapad also ruled for millions of years. And Dhruva Maharaj, I don't remember, but it is also a big number. 36,000 years. Okay, 36,000 years. And then Dhruva had many sons, but Vatsar became the king. And he also ruled for many thousands of years. And then Pushparna became the king. He also ruled for many thousands of years. All this time, Priyavrata Maharaj is practicing Brahmacharya under the guidance of Narad Muni, Naishthik Brahmacharya. Because if he had not gone before all this, he would have become the king before Uttanapad. His right was the first. But he went at the childhood. Therefore, Uttanapad became the king. After Pushparna, Vyushta became the king. All for thousands of years. After Vyushta, Sarvateja became the king. And after Sarvateja, Chakshusha became the king. After Chakshusha, Ulmukha became the king. And Priyavrata Maharaj is under Narad Muni's guidance. We should not forget that. See, we should. Why I am saying, not that Swayambhu Manu was attached to his son and he came to convince him to become Grihastha. If that would have been the case, he would have come at the day one. Like we see in modern age, sometimes the parents, before even the boy joins as a brahmachari, they start disturbing him. Are mat ja, itna serious bhakti mein mat ban. Here, Swayambhu Manu accepted. He allowed for 10-15 generations. That is for lakhs of years. And then after Ulmukh, Anga became the king. And after Anga, Vena became the king. And after Vena, Prithu Maharaj became the king. And after Prithu Maharaj, Vijitasava became the king. And after Vijitasava, Havirdhan became the king. And after Havirdhan, Barishad, that is Prachani Barishad became the king. And after Prachani Barishad, Prachetas became the king. So 15 generations passed, if you calculate. And one common point is, in all the 15 generations, I don't know, maybe except Veda, everyone renounced the kingdom before the next person became the king. All the 15, that is 14 generations. I don't know about the Vena. Everyone renounced the kingdom. They became king, but they also renounced and went to the forest. So that point has also been noted. And after Pracheta, the situation arose that there was no proper ruler. And then, as we say, the society has to be guided by a trained Vaishnava ruler. And actually there was no one suitable to take the position. And Swayambhu Manu being responsible, he saw only Priyavrata Maharaj is available. So after Priyavrata Maharaj was under Narad Muni for 15 generations, you might have to find out everyone's years and make the calculation. But at least Dhruva was, at least few lakhs of years. Minimum, maybe more than that. After that, Swayambhu Manu came to convince Priyavrata Maharaj. He came to Gandhamadan mountain, where, and Prabhupada says, Narad Muni's instructions and guidance was very powerful. And Swayambhu Manu knew that it is difficult to convince Priyavrata Maharaj. And when they came, Priyavrata Maharaj was unhappy, having listening the request of his father. Actually what happened, seeing the situation and its gravity, Brahmaji came down. So that means, the situation was really serious that Brahmaji has to come from Brahmalok to the earth, to Gandhamadan mountain, to convince Priyavrata Maharaj to take up the kingdom. That means that was the seriousness of the situation that required Priyavrata Maharaj to take up the kingdom. And so Brahmaji came down, and when Brahmaji came down, certainly the situation was solved, and then Swayambhu Manu was happy. Actually, we should note the behavior of Swayambhu Manu also here. It may appear, see, he has come to convince his child. But you should know why he had come. He came because he told, he expresses, that if you don't take up kingdom, I'll have to take up and manage all these things and get entangled. So actually there was a competition between the son and father to take sannyas. So, Swayambhu Manu is telling, my dear son, if you don't take up this kingdom, I'll have to take up. So I'll have to remain here in this world managing things. You better accept. I am elder. It's my right to go out first. And Priyavrata Maharaj says, anyway, I am out. You are still in. You remain there. So, it may appear in the modern age that both want to get entangled. But the reality is both want to get detached and give the responsibility to others. So, there is different type of competition. So, we should see the whole thing. Not only how Priyavrata Maharaj behaved, but how Swayambhu Manu also behaved. So, I just go ahead where I am discussing. Yeah, and then suddenly Brahmaji came, and then there's some nice exchange between Brahmaji and Priyavrata Maharaj. Brahmaji says, Priyavrata, I know you are determined not to become king, and I am also determined to convince you to become king. And then Brahmaji answers the doubts of Priyavrata Maharaj, and he says that even if you become king, don't give up the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. In that way, you won't be affected. And you won't fall down from your... Actually, Brahmaji glorifies Priyavrata Maharaj's highest standard of renunciation, austerity, penance and devotion. Saying that your standard is so high, Priyavrata Maharaj, that even though you accept the kingdom and then subsequently the household life, you won't be deviated. You are already so nicely trained that even though you accept the whole kingdom and household life, you won't be deviated. So, therefore, he said, you have got such an intensive training as a brahmachari, so you are liberated. He says, as a liberated person, you can accept material things and still remain liberated. On the other hand, he says, even if an attached person goes to the forest, he will remain attached and have to take birth again. The whole essence is to become detached from material world and from the enjoyment of this material world. And then, another important point showing how Narad and Priyavrata actually detached, even subtly. When Brahmaji came, apparently it was a defeat of... Apparently. It was not. Why apparently? Because he did not take it that way. For those who are on the level of ego, they take it that way, like we. But Priyavrata Maharaj, when Brahmaji went, he came, he convinced and he is flying back. It is described by Sukadeva Goswami that Lord Brahma then being worshipped by everyone went back. And Priyavrata Maharaj and Narad Muni also looked on Brahmaji with no tinges of resentment. It's very difficult to attain this. After having practiced for millions of years, being completely determined, someone comes and convinces you in one way against your will. And then you accept it because Brahmaji is senior and we have to listen. But after doing that, to not have a tinge of resentment. Humko bolke gaya aisa. Abhi sunna padega. Kya kare? That's something which is glorious. Rather than discussing what should we do, which ashram we should learn this thing. How at such a high level of going against someone's will, also he did not have any resentment in his heart. Neither Priyavrat and neither Narad Muni. And certainly, what point I made is now come in my notes again. I just went before. Swayambhu Manu was telling, Priyavrat Maharaj, you take the kingdom and relieve me from this most dangerous, poisonous ocean of material activities. So as I said, it was not a competition or pushing each other to remain attached. It was a competition between the father and son to get detached. Father was telling, son, you accept so that I can get detached. And father, son was saying, why me? Someone else. But anyway, it happened in due course of time that Priyavrat Maharaj became king so that Swayambhu Manu could go to the forest. And that was the whole idea. We should note that also. Like Shravan Bas, the parents wanted to go to the Tirtha Yatra. And here also Swayambhu Manu wanted to go to the forest and therefore he wanted his son to take up the responsibility. So it's like that. We should be careful. So we should know, Prabhupada says, the goal of human life is not this ashram or that ashram, but is to become detachment. What is ashram? The goal is become detached. And not only detached, without detachment there cannot be attachment to Krishna. At the same time, we have heard that while chanting, we get detached. But without getting detached, we cannot be completely attached. Both has to be taken together. Yes, by chanting, attachment will come and detachment will go. And therefore we see in the past, all the sages, all the kings, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, maybe one or two exceptions, I don't know, but most of them, all these 15 generations, even Yudhishthir Maharaj, even Pandavas, were Pandavas less devotees? No. Then why they had to leave the home and go to Himalayas? They are pure devotees from the birth. All these 15 generations, Dhruva and then Prithu Maharaj and everyone, they are pure devotees. Or they become pure devotees. Prachani Bharishad became pure devotees by the guidance of Narad Muni. Prachetas were already. But still they gave up their kingdom and went to the forest at certain stage of life. So, okay, before that we'll just discuss something about Priyavrat Maharaj. He nicely stayed in aftasi. Is because he did not have any ego and because he did not resent becoming grihastha or becoming king. He became very nice king, as if an attached person. He says he greatly loved his wife Barhishmati, who was also very beautiful, and with the increase of days, their exchange of nuptial love also increased as the days passed. And by her feminine behavior, the way she dressed, walked, talked, smiled, laughed, glanced, Queen Barhishmati also encouraged Priyavrat Maharaj. So in that way it may appear that Priyavrat Maharaj was completely controlled or absorbed in his household life. But then what happens after ruling for 11 arbud years, Priyavrat Maharaj, who did many great activities like taking his chariot in the night and making 7 rims of 7 oceans, those who know they understand. But then a time came and he reawakened to his senses and he told, oh, no, my sons are grown up. He had 10. First 3 became sannyasis or left home. So he has 7 remaining. So he had divided the whole universe into 7 lokas. And by 7 oceans, he distributed his kingdom to the 7 sons. And immediately gave up everything, including his kingdom, wife, treasury, army, opulence. And went back to the forest to continue the path of Krishna consciousness. And resume the position which he has gained. So therefore, we should understand that detachment is a part of spiritual life. It's not a goal, but it's a part. Like I was discussing this Niyamagraha. And in Niyamagraha, a very wonderful point came. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives Niyam for Karmis, for Jnanis and for Bhaktas. For Karmis, they are attached. And they have to perform such activities of and all these things where they enjoy. Jnanis, they are detached and they like don't do any activities. For devotees, Vaishnavas, under the rules that should be done. First rule Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions is the rules and regulations of jnanis which are favorable for devotional service. The rules of jnanis are there in bhakti also. He says garmis are attached, jnanis are detached. Devotees should be indifferent. So they should not be attached by influence by it, and they should not be hating thing like detachment, like I don't like it. That's also, they said devotees should be indifferent. And he said they should accept the rules of jnanis that are favorable for devotional service. So therefore actually people, they discuss about ashram, that is clothes, which uniform, white or saffron. But it's like, when you go to college, some colleges they have a uniform. So when you go to the college, a uniform is required. And you may wear the uniform. But the goal is going to the college. If you just wear the uniform and don't go to the college, it doesn't have any meaning. So somebody may wear the uniform of saffron or somebody may wear the uniform of white. But the aim is to go to the college. People in this world, they discuss the uniform and forget that they have to go to the college. So they just discuss which ashram one should select. That's also there, but if you have to go to college, you have to be in uniform. So uniform has to be discussed, but the aim is to go to the college. What is that college? In whatever uniform you are, be detached from it and then develop the attachment to Krishna. That is going to the college. And some people they say, okay, water ashram, but what's the point of detachment? Instead we just remember Krishna always. But the reality is we can't remember Krishna always without actually being detached from the material world. So, some people say, we can remember Krishna at a time of death. First of all, if we are not detached, we can't remember Krishna at a time of death. The example can be of Bharata Maharaj. He performed so much tapasya, but for some reasons, he became attached to deer. And then he did not remember Krishna. Some might remember Krishna, but if they are not in proper consciousness, still they may not perfect their life and go back to Godhead immediately. For example, Ajamil remembered Krishna at the time of death. But then, after Vishnudas came, he had to be in material world for 12 or 14 more years, and then perfect his life. So even though he remembered Krishna at the time of death, he had to be detached, that is, he has to become in right consciousness. So, both ways, Krishna says, one who remembers me at a time of death will come to me, that is sure. But in Ajamil's case, we saw, Vishnudas could have taken him back first time, but he did not. Ajamil gave up, he went to Haridwar, performed sadhana bhakti, perfected his life, and then again the Vishnudas came to take him back. That means there was some difference between the two. There was some difference between the two incidences, even though Ajamil, by somehow or other, remembered Krishna at the time of death. So there was some difference, so he has to again perfect his life. So, first of all, it's very difficult to remember Krishna when we are living and remember Krishna when we are dying, if we are attached. And second of all, even if we remember, the perfection of consciousness is still required, as we see in the case of Ajamil. Then, sometimes it may happen. Like, some people say in Kali Yuga, sannyas is forbidden. Yes. As mentioned down somewhere. In the end, I think. Yes, sannyas is not recommended. Yeah. In Kali Yuga, physical sannyas is not recommended. But we can say detachment is undisputed. We can't dispute that we don't require detachment. Physical sannyas, yes, it may not be recommended in the Kali Yuga. And then, just 1 minute. Then sometimes people, they accept, okay, but what if we don't detach? But we don't see that in the atmosphere, in the examples of the Bhagavatams. I said all the 15 generations, they were pure devotees, or if not still, they took up detachment in their life very seriously at a certain point. And then, as I said, why did Pandavas also? Was Pandavas not pure devotees? Was Dhruva not pure devotee? Was Rushabdev, the father of Bharat Maharaj, not pure devotee? But still, they gave up their kingdom on a physical level. They were chanting holy names, remembering Krishna always. But still in some point of time they gave up. So in Kali Yuga, as I said, physically one may not be giving up home. May not be exactly recommended. But one has to do something which is similar or equivalent in one's life if he wants to perfect it. We can't say just because I am chanting holy names, I can be completely attached to the material world in whatever ways, in whatever ashram. As I said, brahmacharis, grihasthas, vanprasthas, sannyasis, all can be attached or all can be detached. But the point is, this attachment or detachment can be seen only internally, ultimately. It can't be seen externally. Externally is difficult, internally is difficult. So, but at least ourselves, we should be careful. That if we want to perfect life, we have to strive to achieve this detachment at some point of life, at some point of time in our life. Otherwise, we can't see one Vidura giving up home. So, sometimes there is modern day, there is propaganda also, that you see, and sometimes there is fear amongst devotees, especially those who want to take up the brahmachari life, and they are sometimes, they fear, or sometimes they are told, that maybe you will fall down. That may happen. Bharat Maharaj fell down, is it not? Yes, you may be attached to money, attached to opposite sex, or attached to dear. It's a fall down from the supreme position. And we quote his example. But, next life, Bharat Maharaj became a holy deer, a special deer birth. Would he had achieved that deer's birth without practicing his austerity in the past life? He fell down, he became attached to deer and became a deer. But he got a special deer birth. We should understand he wouldn't have achieved that if he wouldn't have performed austerities and tapasya and dhyan and bhakti for many years. Even though he became attached to deer, he wouldn't have attained that position if he wouldn't have practiced spiritual life. And he wouldn't have become Jad Bharat in the third life. He became Jad Bharat. See, the point is he practiced devotional service, he became attached, became a deer, became Jad Bharat and perfected. So his perfection wouldn't have been achieved. His perfection achieved even though he fell down. But his perfection would not have achieved even if he would not have practiced at all. If he would not have practiced, and while practicing he fell down, he became a deer, but he could not have achieved perfection if he would say, oh, maybe I will get attached to deer, so I won't practice only. So then he wouldn't have never attained perfection. Though we all know, and many people outside, they quote Vishwamitra's story. This is like famous. Vishwamitra is famous for becoming attracted to Menaka. But again, if Vishwamitra would not have performed 60,000 years of tapasya, it's not that he should have get attracted, but the point is he would not have performed 60,000 years of tapasya. Yes, he got attracted, then had a Shakuntala also as a baby daughter. But then again, he took up the spiritual path. So after fall down, he took up the spiritual path from the point where he left. So we can't say whatever he has done was useless. Yes, the apparent impediment that came should not have came. But even though it came, if he was would have think, oh, why to perform tapasya? Maybe Menaka will come and retract me. Then he wouldn't have never become Vishwamitra. Yes, sometimes that fear might be there. Like Bharat Maharaj would say. So all people can say like that. But they wouldn't have they attained the position of Vishwamitra or Jad Bharat if they would have never attempted. Actually, that's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, two verses. Neha bhikram nashosti, pratyavayo na vidyate, svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. And then he also says in 9th chapter, api cheta suduracharo bhajante mam anyane bhag. So actually, when we are trying to get detached, many times influences of attachment will come. It's just like when a child starts to learn walking or cycling, you will fall 10 times. But because you attempt and fall, you reach perfection. Because so therefore, if we don't attain because we are fearful of falling, then we'll never attain perfection. And it's a big, see the material world tendencies. I don't know for how many years in the past and how many years in the future, people will speak sarcastically of Vishwamitra Muni. Whatever people speak, the reality is Vishwamitra attained perfection. For generations to come, for yugas to come, people will speak of Vishwamitra Muni. Let them speak. The reality is, even after getting attracted to Menaka, he attained perfection after that. So we should look at that. Vishwamitra again got up, again started, he fell down to anger, again got up, again started. So therefore, so Krishna is, so sometimes if we say, we want us to keep in a comfort zone of bhakti, not trying to advance, because we will fall down. That is self-cheating. So I say, sometimes I will get distracted. I am happy. That is self-cheating. Because, what happened with Bharat Maharaj? He get attracted to deer, he fell down. In the next birth, he got a deer's body, but with advantage of 40 years of tapasya and bhakti. So that was not lost. In the third birth, he got Jad Bharat's body with the advantage of deer's tapasya. Because deer did tapasya. Deer left his group and just heard the sages. So Jad Bharat's birth was advantage of deer's birth and Bharat Maharaj's birth. Removed the disadvantage of attachment to deer and deer's body. So yes, Bharat Maharaj's fall down gave a disadvantage of deer's birth and one more birth. The third birth, Jad Bharat maintained the advantages of past two births and removed the disadvantages of past two fall downs. That was the Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj, deer and then Jad Bharat. So yes, when one is starting to walk, sometimes impediments, deviations will come. But when we come back to the path, we are advantage of what we have practiced, remove the disadvantage of what we have done the mistake. So in that way, keeping this in mind, we should understand that we should take the Krishna's instructions to the Brahman ladies. That for Brahman ladies, one type of success was they had become detached from family. Another type of success was to go and serve the same family which they have detached from. It's more difficult. But to serve some people whom we are attached to is easy, but to serve the people whom we are detached with is more difficult. And while doing that, always remember Krishna. Therefore, some small fall downs and deviations in a sadhaka's part of spiritual life will come. But in the future, advantage of his sadhana will remain and disadvantage of deviation or fall down will go away. And one should not be disturbed by it, disgusted by it or discuss it. If we are disturbed by it, we disturb our spiritual life. If we are disgusted and criticize the person in trouble, we are disgusted, hey, aisa hi hai, iska aisa ho gaya. We trouble his spiritual life. And we discuss, we trouble everyone's spiritual life. So, when such incidents happen in the life of devotees, we should not be disturbed personally. We should not be disgusted at some person. And saying, oh, he's like that. No. And we should not discuss such things. Because one will disturb our life. Another will disturb his life. And discussions will disturb everyone's life. Better try how to remember Krishna. And we should learn. We should hear the case of Bharat Maharaj. See, we quote, Bharat Maharaj fell down because lack of association. That is correct. But in the next birth, he had the advantage of whatever spiritual life he has performed. So yes, we can analyze what happened, why happened. But we should know the advantage remains. And Bharat Maharaj went out and perfected his life. Similarly, even in our life, whatever position we may be, whichever ashram we may be, the goal of detachment from material world, on whatever level, external, internal, and attachment to the Krishna, should always be strived very hard. Without being afraid of impediments, distractions and fall downs. Hare Krishna. I think yes. if you have any comments or questions, comment Anand Anandan Prabhu has some.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Prabhu, I have from last so many years, this doubt was always there in my mind about Priyavrata and Swayambhu Manu. 15 generation has passed, and how come Priyavrata and Swayambhu Manu were alive? I could not understand that. And second question was that Swayambhu Manu wanted to go to the forest. How come he waited for 15 generation?
Actually, I will try to answer, but we are Shastric scholars here, both sides of me, one year. They can answer in a better way. Okay, what was the first question? Why did Swayambhu Manu wait for 15 years?
How could they stay for 15 generations?
Alive, yeah.
Why birth, that old age, disease is okay, applicable okay. for everybody okay, in this okay. material world. Then how come they could stay for so many years and they could see the 15 generation in front of them?
Because that was not Kali Yuga.
If it was not a Kali Yuga, then
Kali Yuga, the symptom is son will die before father.
Yeah, no, I understand. Then other 15 generation, they have passed, they should also have stayed.
Some of them might have been alive in the forest. How do you and me know? But then the question may come, why did Swayambhu Manu did not go to them? Because they have already undergone that cycle once. They have already become king and renounced. So why they should become the king again second time? Priyavrata was the only one who was the first timer. See, we should understand that's the Satya Yuga, where people can live a long life and they can voluntarily meditating on Krishna give up their life. It's possible. For us, both are difficult. In Kali Yuga, to live a long life is difficult, and even remembering Krishna, just sitting in lotus position and just letting the soul out is also difficult. Yeah, both are difficult for us. But Satya Yuga and other AJS, where people have advanced spiritually and in that type of practices, as I said, many of the 15 generations might be still alive. And if they are not, they can voluntarily give up their body, means just like Dadichi Muni. Can someone like Dadichi Muni of us just sit in Samadhi and just leave the soul? We can't do that. But Dadichi Muni did that. So that facility they had to take the soul out of the body at their own choice. So in the 15 generations, some might be alive, still performing dhyan on Krishna. Some might have chose to stop their life and go back. We have to go and search the itihasas, how many are alive and dead. But that's possible. That's quite practically possible. And the second question was?
Swayambhu Manu stayed for 15 generations, not yet gone to forest. Why?
Because he is accepting the responsibility of the Manvantara. He wanted, that was his strong desire. But as Brahman Patnis, they had to go back to serve what they did not want. Means, from material attachment of level. Swayambhu Manu was given the responsibility of that Manu for 15 generations. And after Priyavrata Maharaj, then the next Manu's time. Because Priyavrata Maharaj's three sons became Manus. So time was there right for him to. So that's what happened. In modern age, we meet many young people of 30 years. And they say, Prabhuji, bahut ho gaya, kantala aa gaya, sab chhodne ki ichha kar rahi. And we meet people of 50 years, Prabhuji, 5 aur saal. So baad mein job chhodenge. So when the time of continuing job, 30 years, they are fed up. And when the time to give the job, 50-55 years, they want to continue. It's upward. Swayambhu Manu maintained his responsibility till it was required, although he did not want to. And when the time came, he did not maintain it. He just gave up. So both ways. Even though 15 generations passed, he was Manu for 72 yugas, not for only one kingdom. I think I could answer, but there are Shastri scholars, Gaurang Puru, Radhika Vallabh Puru, and some others also. I think we should end. It's quite some late. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki.